All right. Great to be here. I have never been to an event like this that had the first hour like that. I'm just reflecting on that for a minute, you know. I have two teenage boys. I have two sons-in-law, and they live in FIFA. And so I was literally recording and Snapchat and sending to my boys, like, going, you can't believe what's happening here in Sweden. They would have been in heaven playing on that game. You know, I was born and raised in the middle of in the western United States, up in what's called the Rocky Mountains. And I had friends that came to school dressed like that, you know, the cowboy hat and the plaid shirt. You know, I did pick up a couple of words, you know, like Windows Server, Azure Stack, cross-platform, Azure. A couple of words I picked up that I probably can't repeat. But that was just fantastic. And then the last thing, the team was telling me this morning that in 2012, Anderson became the most common name in Sweden, but mine is spelled wrong. All right. But it's great to be here. Looking forward to be able to share with some of you the things that we're working on and hopefully give you some insights and some of the new innovation that we're working on. So let's go ahead and get started here. You know, in terms of as we think about this concept of digital transformation and how the cloud is transforming our organization, your organizations, your careers, you know, we really kind of think about it in terms of these five big areas. You know, what we do from a productivity standpoint, business apps, application innovation, things that are happening in terms of data, and then finally, security and intelligence. And as we think about these concepts of the public cloud, we really think about how those all come together and how we enable you to take advantage of new capabilities that we've only dreamed about in the past that we can now deliver from the cloud. And so I want to share with you some of the things that we're now able to do that quite honestly, 20, 25 years ago, 10 years ago, we dreamed about, but now we can do. But let me give you just kind of an idea of the breadth of these investments that we're making. So today with Azure, we have 34 different what we call regions. These are data centers. Some of these data centers, you know, are in places where they're owned and operated by Microsoft. There are data centers, for example, our data centers in Germany and China that are not even operated by Microsoft employees because of data sovereignty rules. But right now, with these 34 different locations, we have more than two times what any of our competition has. Let me just kind of give you a view of the size of these data centers. Okay, so this is one of our data centers. This one happens to be in the United States. Look in the very bottom right here at this circle. That's a truck. Just to kind of give you an idea of the size of this. Okay, remember, this is just one. Now, notice there's some construction going on at the top of this picture. Let me flip around and give you a view of the addition. These data centers are massive. You know, our ability to be able to, you know, purchase at volume, to operate these at scale. As I sit in these weekly meetings, you know, every Wednesday I sit with my boss, Scott Guthrie, and we review what's going on globally with Azure. It's absolutely mind-boggling as we look at the number of servers, the amount of storage that we're putting in, and how fast organizations like you are consuming it. And here, you know, in the Nordics and in Sweden, the rate at which you are embracing these concepts of public cloud is just fantastic. Okay, now let's get into some of the pieces I wanted to talk about here, about how we're using the cloud. Now, if you don't believe you're under attack, I'm here to shatter your world this morning. Every organization that has anything of value, any organization that has anything that somebody else might want to get is under constant attack. And let's take a look at just some of the most recent attacks here that we've talked about in the press. First of all, 2 months ago, there was a new set of vulnerabilities that were reported on iOS, Trident and Pegasus. If you haven't had a chance to learn about this particular set of vulnerabilities, it was developed by an Israeli company of 250 employees. It was enterprise software. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it had 24/7 support. It had software assurance. It had bulk discounts as you bought more licenses. It was pure enterprise service. No longer does an organization have to have the know-how to build these attacks. They just have to have the money to buy them. You know, we look at what happened in terms of the Olympic athletes a couple of months ago where someone had stole critical information about them. We look at what happened with, you know, Colin Powell, and this was an absolute, you know, factor in the U.S. elections as every single day those last couple of weeks, email from the Democratic side of the campaign was being leaked out by WikiLeaks, but it was all stolen. And then finally, if you take a look at what happened at Yahoo 2 months ago, one of the world's largest breaches, the amount of identity that was stolen was just remarkable. And so what that leads to is for just about every organization in the world, security and cybersecurity is by far the number one concern and topic. You know, I was in London the last couple of days, and last week, you know, many of the leaders in England came out and said the greatest threat threatening England, the United Kingdom, things like, you know, nuclear war. It's now cyber crime and cyber attacks. It's a very real thing. Now, a couple of things here that you might want to understand is right now you're being asked to protect your company's data or your customers' data in a world that is just rapidly expanding. As you think about it, as data moves to the cloud, as applications move to the cloud, and users increasingly work on mobile devices, all this data no longer sits behind the perimeter, and the way that we have historically managed and protected our data is no longer helpful. And so I want to spend some time on that, helping you understand what it is that we do. Now, I love to learn from history, okay? This is Kalmar. This is, you know, this is one of these amazing historical castles that was built here in Sweden. And for centuries, these castles provided incredible amounts of defense. Now, I want to talk to you about one specific example because I think there's a lot to learn from history about what we can apply today. And you're looking here at a castle in northern England, and it's called Bamburgh. Now, this particular castle is pretty amazing. In the 13th and 14th century, this was the most secure place on the planet. A leader could have his treasure, his citizens, you know, in this castle, and they were safe. Now, in this time frame, no castle had ever fallen to cannon fire. But this one did. It was the first. So let me tell you the story. In 1464, there was a war called the War of the Roses. And this particular leader named the Earl of Warwick attacked Bamburgh Castle. He wanted to take the castle because of its strategic position in England. After 9 months of attacking the castle, he decided he needed to change his tactics. And he brought in these three huge cannons. Now, as I mentioned, no castle had ever fallen to cannon fire prior to this date. And so you can just imagine these three cannons being rolled up and the guards on top of this castle kind of like, you know, having this Monty Python moment, laughing at these, like, yeah, go ahead and bring it. We're safe in here. But there were two big differences about these cannons. One, they could be fired from incredible distances. And two, they were incredibly accurate. And in June of 1464, they started firing and the castle fell. Now, the first question that everybody asked was, how do we build stronger castles? But the reality is, old defenses were no match for new attacks. And that's exactly where we're at right now as an industry. The cyber attacks that we're all dealing with are relentless. They're continual. They're more sophisticated. They're more complex. And the reality is no organization has the expertise, the people, and the time to keep up with it. To kind of give you an idea of what we're dealing with, you know, for many, many years, I built and then ran our anti-malware at Microsoft. We get 1 million different new pieces of malware reported to us every single day. You can't keep up with it on your own. And so we asked ourselves a couple of years ago, what can we do using the cloud and all the data that we have to help protect our customers every second of every minute of every day? And so we've built this incredible asset that we call the Intelligent Security Graph. I want to help you understand what this is and then show you some applications of it. So what I want you to be able to visualize here is visualize all of the data, all of the telemetry that Microsoft gets from every one of our services coming into one place. So for example, we operate over 200 services around the globe. You know, think about it, Xbox Live, Azure, Outlook, Office 365. Everything that comes back to Microsoft is now going into this one place called the Intelligent Security Graph. And we learn. We talk about building the intelligent cloud, and this is what it's all about. We patch 1 billion PCs every month. Every piece of data that comes back from that goes into this intelligent security graph, and we get smarter. We do over 300 billion authentications every month between Microsoft account and Azure Active Directory. Every one of those authentications sends us back data and telemetry, and we learn. We get smarter. It all goes into the graph. We scan over 200 billion emails every single month, looking for malicious URLs, looking for phishing attacks. And we learn and we grow, but all that goes into the graph. Then finally, everything that we learned from Bing, but just visualize this. The attacks on Xbox Live, the attacks on Azure, all of that we bring together. There is nothing like this anywhere else on the planet. And then what that allows us to do is put this to work for you. So now using machine learning, using artificial intelligence, using data analytics, we can now spot things that help identify, for example, the user accounts in your company that have been compromised and are being used to attack you. Okay, so you're going to hear us talk a lot more about this intelligent security graph. It's just fundamental to what we are and who we are. You know, this is an unknown fact, but Microsoft today spends over $1 billion every year on security. One could argue we spend more on security than any company in the world. Now, the way that we spend this is unique. One of the things that we fundamentally believe is we have to get this balance right of a great user experience that is secure. So how do we build an environment that's loved by end users, trusted by IT? It's pretty easy to build a solution that's secure that users hate. So how do we do both? And so a lot of our investments come into just designing this security into the way that users work. You know, today's users have got incredibly high expectations. They just want it to work for them. It wants to be fluid. It wants to be simple. And so a lot of our security efforts are, how do we, inside of Word or Outlook, build in security that guides users? It's not intrusive, but delivers what users want and also what IT wants. It's just like a beautiful car. Security is built into that car. Things like anti-lock brakes, things like an airbag. We need those same concepts into what we build across the board. Now, I'd ask you this question. As I think about security, can you answer yes to these five questions? Okay, just ask yourself this in your own mind. Do you know who is accessing your data? Okay, is it only the people you want accessing it, or are others? Two, can you grant access in real time to the resources within your company based upon risk? Three, can you protect your data at rest, in transit, on mobile devices, in the cloud? Are you confident you have that level of trust? Four, how quickly can you find and assess and block an attack? And then five, are you delivering an environment that your users love? What I'm going to spend the next 45 minutes talking about is work that we've done to help you say yes to all of these questions. Now, in the context of how we think about it, we really think about these three verbs. You need to be great at all of them. You need to be great at protecting, but you have to also assume that you've been breached, so you have to be able to detect attacks, and then you need to be able to quickly respond. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to walk down through and give you views of what we're doing, how we're innovating to help you protect, detect the attacks, and then respond to them quickly. Now, if there is one thing that I hope you walk away from this morning, the absolute most important thing for you to protect is your user's identity. If I go back to that analogy for a minute of the castle, castles were all based upon building a perimeter that then protected everything inside of the castle. And if you think about what we've done for decades as IT professionals, we've built walls around our companies. We've built castles around our companies. We built these network perimeters, and that was the primary line of defense that we used to secure and protect the data. But once the data moves out of that perimeter and it moves into the cloud, your perimeter-based security model is no longer effective. So one of the biggest things we have to do as an industry is we have to move from a perimeter-based security model to an identity-based security model. It's a fundamental shift, because if you think about it for a minute, as your users use different mobile devices and access cloud services, the only thing that is common across all of those is their identity. Identity is what unlocks the world to them. It unlocks, you know, their ability to access what they need to get their job done. Identity also is the place where almost all of these cyber attacks that you read about eventually trace to. Now, let me give you some of the most interesting data about this. there's organizations that go out and do research that help us understand, are our employees, you know, not Microsoft, but our employees, better or worse at detecting phishing attacks? So the data that has just come out tells us that in the last 12 months, more of our employees fall for phishing attacks than they did 12 months ago. Why? Because they're more sophisticated, they're more targeted. Here's the data. 32% of all individuals that receive a phishing attack will open the email. 12% will open the attachments, and they'll do it in 4 minutes. If you have any kind of intellectual property that somebody else wants, I guarantee you're under attack. Okay, so let's talk about how we help you protect that. Now, the other interesting thing about this is it takes on average over 200 days from the time an organization is breached until they realize it and find it. It then takes over 80 days to actually determine what has been stolen and what the risk is. These are the kind of things that cost companies, it costs brand equity. It's very, very damaging. Okay, so with that now, let's kind of jump out of some of the slides and get into some demos and show you how a bunch of this works. Okay, here, let me find my glasses. It's been a hard couple of years for me. I lost my hair, had to get reading glasses, became a grandpa. Okay. The first thing I want to show you here is I want to show you some of the work that we're doing to help you from an identity perspective. Now, one of the things that we believe strongly in is this concept of multi-factor authentication. Okay, and I'm going to show you multi-factor authentication here, but let me set it up for a minute. You need to be able to verify that your users are who they say they are. And the way that you do that is you challenge them with this multi-factor authentication. But your users get tired and exhausted of multi-factor authentication if they get it too often. So what you want to do is you want to have the ability that when something seems suspicious or something seems wrong, to challenge users then. Okay, so let me see what you'll get. On the left-hand side is Edge. On the right-hand side is a Tor browser. And what the Tor browser allows a user to do is basically anonymize where they're coming from. And so I have a policy in what I'm going to show you here that says if the user is coming in and everything looks like they're working on a device that's trusted with an application that's trusted, go ahead and allow them in. So if I come over here and authenticate on this left-hand side, which is the Edge browser, because this is coming in from, well, let me try it one more time. I could blame it on the Swedish keyboard if I type it wrong. Okay, because this is coming in from a browser, everything looks good. It's supposed to look good. All right, we just had to. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and skip on this just because that one for some reason didn't work. But let's try it one more time. Oh, but actually, you can see here. This would have given me access. Now, let's go skip over to the Tor side here. Now, on the Tor side, what you want to notice here is all this traffic is being routed around Europe. And so it's being able to hide where I'm coming from. Now, if I come in over here and try to sign in, what's going to happen is it's going to detect that something is wrong. All right, one more time. This all worked this morning. Okay, so it's detected that something is out of the ordinary. It's detected that I'm coming in from a browser that's hiding its IP address, and so it wants to verify I am who I say I am. So in this case right now, it's calling my cell phone. Okay, and so inside of what we call the Enterprise Mobility and Security Solution, we have multi-factor authentications. Okay, so my phone is ringing right now. I'm going to go ahead and bring this up.
Thank you for using the Microsoft Sign-In Verification System. Please press the pound key to finish your verification. Your sign-in is successfully verified. Goodbye.
That probably cost me $10 right there. And so now that it's verified who I am, I'm able to go through. Okay, but the key here is the multi-factor authentication on the left-hand side did not occur because everything looked legit. On the right-hand side, because I was coming in from a browser that was hiding its IP address, which is a typical way that users attack, or that attackers attack, it challenged users with a multi-factor authentication. Now, let me show you some of the other things that we've been doing here. I talked about this concept of the intelligent security graph. Now, I want to show you some of the things that we're doing to help you on this. So the first thing that you're looking at here is what we call privileged identity management. And privileged identity management helps us to help you understand which user accounts have got administrative privilege and if they're being used or not. As you think about your security posture, the most important thing to do is make sure that your user accounts that have high privilege are few and that only the people that have to have it actually have it. And so what you're looking at here, this is part of EMS, and it allows you to see all your user accounts. And so in this case, I have 12 admin roles. And I can take a look here at, you know, at who they are and what they are. But over here is what I want to show you. Over here on the right-hand side, we show you all of your individuals that have administrative privilege. Where it says eligible, what we're telling you and what we're suggesting to you is you take away administrative privilege from these users because they're not using it on a regular basis. So we actually show you usage, who is in actually using their admin privileges and who is not. And then even more powerful, in my opinion, is this concept right here. Notice there's an expiration date there. One of the new innovations that we have built now is the ability for you to be able to temporarily assign administrative privilege to a user. They can get the job done that they need, and then that administrative privilege is taken away. So you can limit who has administrative privilege. Now, I want to go in and show you some additional pieces here. And one of the most important pieces I want to show you is a concept that we have called identity protection. And so I'm going to come back in here, and I want to show you this concept of identity protection. So let me set it up for you a little bit. So with this identity protection, one of the things that we have inside of that intelligent security graph is we have a risk score associated with every account. So how many of you, for example, use Office 365? Okay, fantastic. So with Office 365, all your users have AAD accounts. In the graph, we have a risk factor associated with every one of those user accounts now. And in October, we released new capabilities for you to be able to take advantage of that. So let me show you what we do. The first thing that we do is we have these concept of risk events. And so you take a look here. There are certain things that if we see your users are doing, we'll move that risk score in the graph up or down. So if at the top there, if we see that your user credentials have been stolen and are up for sale, we move that risk score up to very high. If we see the user coming in from a device that's hiding its IP address from us, we classify that as a medium risk. The third one right here is a user logged in a physical location and then logged in another physical location in an impossible time frame. But these are things that we, as we collect the telemetry, we're able to see this in real time and then take action. So what that allows us to do, first of all, is we can identify for you the users we think you should be concerned about. So in this case right here, we say, here are the users that we believe have symptoms that maybe they've been compromised. If I go click on any one of them, it'll show me the actual reasons why we're concerned about that user. So in this case, Liz, her username and password are currently up for sale on the web. And then in a 30-minute period here, her user account attempted to log in from a device that was hiding its IP address from us. So now what it allows us to do is we can now go build policies based upon user risk. And so I can go out and build a policy, and I can say, hey, I'm going to associate this to all my users or to a portion of my users. And if the Microsoft security graph comes back and tells me that the user risk is high, then what I want to do is I either want to block access or I want to enable access, but I want to do things like force the user to change their password or automatically challenge them with a multi-factor authentication. This is amazing. For the first time, you actually can now have an authoritative source of risk associated with every one of your users and then build access policies that block in real time access or allow access based upon that risk. Okay, remember, identity is the most important thing for you to protect. Now, let me show you where this goes. Okay, so I'm going to show you the new administrative console that has not been released yet for the combined enterprise mobility and security solution. So think about our identity protection, mobile device management, mobile application management, data protection. Now what I'm able to do is as I build out these conditions, I can now build out conditions based upon the user risk, the risk of the device the user is coming in on, the risk of the application the user is using. So I could have, for example, a different risk profile for using a native app versus a web app. I can even get as specific as network location. And what you see here now is this concept of identity and enterprise mobility management working together in a holistic way. If you have deployed a competitive enterprise mobility management solution, it acts by itself. It doesn't act in concert with other solutions. And this is how we have believed for a number of years that identity, enterprise mobility management, MDM and MAM, as well as data protection would converge. This right here is the administrative console that shows that. And then what you can then do is you can go and you can grant access based upon rules. And you can say, if I see, for example, a user that comes in with a specific level of risk on the identity, on a device that does not meet my criteria, or using an application that I'm not aware of, I can do things like I can put in policies that say, I'm going to require that the user is working on an MDM-compliant device, working on a corporate application that we have delivered down through our corporate store, and you can require both of those, or that can be an either or. But this allows you now to express your access policies, and you can base those access policies based upon identity, device, app, network location, and we'll continue to add into that. Okay? So that's ways that we're helping you to protect at the front door access to your resources. Okay? It's incredibly powerful. Now, what we're doing at Microsoft to give you the perspective on this is, our policies at Microsoft for all the Microsoft employees, this has been implemented for all the engineering teams, and we'll start rolling this out to the field, is if you're going to access anything other than email, you have to be working on a managed device that is compliant with our MDM policies, and it has to be multi-factor authentication protected. For email, we will allow you to access email from any device as long as the app that you're using is multi-factor authentication protected. So for example, Outlook on iOS, Android, and Windows has all of our EMS multi-factor authentication built into it, and we can make sure that if something is suspicious, that we can verify the users who they say they are. Okay, so let's go back to the slides now. So we talked about this concept of protect, and we do that through things like identity protection, device management, enterprise mobility management. And so what this allows us to help you do is answer yes to these three questions. Do you know who's accessing your corporate data? Yes, because you can verify that it is your employees and nobody else. You can grant access now in real time to your corporate resources based upon the risk factors that you want to define. And because this is all based on Office, you are delivering an environment that is loved by your users as well as trusted by IT. Now, just give you just two examples real quickly of organizations that are using this. Unilever, over the last 6 months, has deployed our identity protection to all of their employees. You know, I spent time with Unilever yesterday. Fascinating thing about Unilever, they actually, in any given day, over half of the households on the planet use some kind of a product from Unilever. More than 2 billion people every single day. And what they're doing now is using the multi-factor authentication, the identity protection of EMS, to be able to protect their identities. They're in the process right now of they're actually migrating from AirWatch to Intune, and they're adding 3,000 to 4,000 new devices every single week as they're doing that migration to have this integrated identity protection as well as enterprise mobility management. Now, if I also wanted to talk about Bristow for a minute. Bristow is one of these fascinating organizations. What they do is they transport individuals from the mainland out to things like oil rigs. They work in a highly regulated world. All the work that they're doing has incredible regulations and security around it. They now have every one of their SaaS apps that they're using being protected with the MFA capabilities from Microsoft to make sure that in these highly regulated, highly secure environments, it is only their employees that are getting access. Okay, so now let's move to detect. Okay, you do all you can to protect the company assets, but then you have to assume breach, and you want to be able to detect when there has been a breach. So detection has all kinds of capabilities in it, but let's start with what your users want. Your users want a friction-free, empowering, rich work environment. Like this picture right here, they want to be able to drive, 200 kilometers an hour, getting their work done as fast as they can. But as IT, we want to put some guardrails on it. We want to help the user and guide the user to do the right things to protect the data that they're accessing. Now, as we think about this, you know, there's fascinating data on this one as well. Like, for example, 58% of workers admit to having accidentally sent data to individuals they should not have sent it to. Now, let me give you a very specific example of this. Okay, the name Brad Anderson is not very unique. Back when I was running Windows Server and System Center, my peer at Dell who ran the Dell server hardware was also named Brad Anderson, 1S. Every single week, one of Brad's direct reports would send me email that was destined to him that came to me instead. Accidental data leakage. It literally happened every single week. And so what we've been working on here is how do we guide your users to protect the data in a seamless experience. Now, the way that we think about this, you have three kinds of users in your organizations. You've got one kind of user who is they're a good corporate citizen. They want to do the right thing. Increasingly, your users have got to share data. You've got data that you just can't have behind a wall. Data's got to be shared with partners, with other individuals. So you also want to enable sharing. And then finally, you do have users that have malicious intent. They're there to do damage. It's a very small minority, but you still have to admit you have them. Now, you build the environment for the first two. You build an environment that optimizes to give your good corporate citizens, which is more than 99.9% of your users, that great experience. But you then also want to have the ability to detect when a malicious user is doing something. Okay, so this is a great place, again, for us to go and look at some demonstrations. Now, I'm going to start here with an iPad. Let me show you some of the things that we do to detect how users are using the corporate data and then guide them to do the right things. Now, one of the interesting things here, you know, let me go here and show you this. This is a typical iPad. This one happens to be MDM managed. One of the challenges that we had as Microsoft is our applications, the Office mobile apps, people use them in their business life and in their corporate life. And if you think about it for a minute, there's only a handful of apps that people use in both of these lives. And so we had to figure out a way that when a user was in a corporate document, we could identify that and apply data loss prevention. But when a user's in a personal document, we need to stay out of it and honor the user's privacy. We do it all based on identity, okay? We talked about in the last 10 minutes the importance of identity. Identity finds its way through everything that we do from a security perspective. So if you look here, there are five different places I could open documents from. Two of those are corporate locations. Three of those are personal locations. The first one at the top, OneDrive for Business, requires my corporate credentials to get access to, as does SharePoint. Anything that I open from any place that requires my corporate credentials is going to automatically be assumed to be a corporate document, and we'll apply data loss prevention to it. So let's go open this business plan. So now as it's opening this business plan, because it came from a location that required my corporate credentials, data loss prevention is being applied to this, and now you as IT can go apply policies on this that help guide your user on how to protect the data. So say that your users wanted to go and save a copy of this and they wanted to put it into a non-approved location like Dropbox. Okay, they're not allowed to do it. So you're guiding the user to keep the corporate data in corporate locations. I'm meeting with two or three customers later today, and this is actually one of the first questions they had is how do we protect and keep the company data in company locations? You know, this concept of user empowerment is also critical here. And so your users want to be able to do things like copy and paste across corporate applications, but you also want to prevent them from copying into personal applications. So let's go ahead and copy the contents of this. Let's now go into Outlook. So I'm in Outlook, and I'm going to go ahead here and create an email. I'm in my corporate email right now, and paste works just the way that you would expect it to work. But let's go do that exact same thing. This time, I'm going to go into my personal email. Now when I go to paste, paste doesn't appear. So we're guiding the user to be able to keep the company data in company locations. Now, EMS and Intune is the only way to do this. Okay, if you're using another enterprise mobility management solution, you cannot have that level of control inside of the Office mobile applications. You know, one of the questions I get from a lot of people is, how is EMS doing compared to other competition like MobileIron and AirWatch? Okay, this right here is a view of the last three quarters. The green line is net new customer adds from EMS. The red is net new customer adds from AirWatch, and the orange is from MobileIron. Okay. Look at the rate of growth that EMS has compared to them. Now, all of numbers, EMS is at 37,000 unique customers, AirWatch is at 16,000, MobileIron is at 12,500. Okay. The world is moving because the world wants to have a comprehensive solution about identity management. Okay. Now, let's go do a little more work on what we do to help you detect and guide your users. So one of the things that's an age-old problem is organizations want to be able to classify and label documents. You know, different documents have different levels of security on it. So one of the things that we've been working on is the ability for documents to be auto-classified and auto-labeled. And so I'm going to show you one of the new capabilities that we call Azure Information Protection. We just released this new version of this in October as well. So what this allows me to do, so first of all, I'm sitting here working on a document. As an end user, I can go in here and say, hey, this is a secret document. Only the finance department should have access to it. Now look what happened. The watermark came onto it. You can take a look down here. There's a footer that basically said, hey, this is a confidential document. These labels up at the top are completely configurable by you as an organization. And so you can do your classifications, and it's just that easy for users to be able to do it. But we know that users often forget. And so you also want to have the ability to have the document auto-classified based upon the content in the document. So I'm going to come in here into this. It looks like it's some kind of a budget. I'm going to go copy and paste a couple of credit card numbers into that and save. Now watch what happens. Just the action of saving, the file was automatically labeled as confidential. If I come back and take a look here, you know, you can see that the file is now protected. What's interesting about this and what's unique about this from anything on the market is not only have we encrypted it and all the things you would expect, but we've written into the document the identities of the individuals that can open it and what rights they have. Those rights now travel with the document. The document becomes self-protecting. This is how you can enable secure sharing of data across your organization with partners, because the file knows who can open it. Now, wouldn't it also be great if you could also track who's using it? So what you're looking at here now is an experience. This is a portal that when I share a document, I can go in, for example, and see who's opened it and who's tried to open it. So I can see here there are 40 views of it. I can actually look at those names, and they all look familiar to me. But there's one individual here, this Brian Swan, who's tried to open up this document 9 times. I can get a timeline view of it, and it actually will show me from a timeline on a day-by-day, green is a successful open, orange is a block. I can get a map view of it, and it'll show me where in the world people tried to open these documents. And of course, you know, this Brian, if I go down here, you can see Brian is trying to open this, and he's somewhere in Australia. If I need to, for some reason, revoke access to this, that black button down here in the bottom, it literally is one click, that document is revoked, and nobody can access it any time in the world again. And so let's take our protection and take it down to the file level and embed these things actually into the file itself. Now, two other things to show you here. The first thing I want to show you here is something that we call Azure Security Center. So those of you who are in Azure, what we've tried to do here is basically put all the minds of Microsoft and all the minds of our partner working on your behalf to help and guide you to protect your assets. You know, one of the most common ways that these attackers get in is companies forget to turn on some of the security. It's kind of like, you know, management 101 pieces, but we often forget. And so what you're looking at in this is built into Azure. If you are using Azure, all these capabilities are at your disposal. It's just part of your Azure subscription. So you see here, I can come in here, and it gives me a set of recommendations. And so I can come and click on this, and it'll actually show me all the recommendations of the things that we are suggesting that you take, the actions you take to protect all of your assets on Azure, all your VMs. Okay, so as this finishes painting here, you see there's a whole list of things that it's recommending for me. So I can come into here. Let me go back. Oh, sorry about that. So I can go in here now and drill into these. And so I'm going to come down here. And for example, one of them says you should add vulnerability assessment solution to your VMs. So I can come in here. I can click on one of the VMs. And it's so simple. It guides me through what I need to do here. And so I'm going to come in here. I'm going to install it on that VM. I can actually take partners from Microsoft, like this partner Qualys. They actually have a set of best guidances that will help you understand if all your VMs are being protected, if there's vulnerabilities. if I come back here to this screen here that showed me all the issues, I can come up here and let's see here. I'm looking for one right here, remediate vulnerabilities that's been identified by Qolsys. So I click on that, and it's going to come back here and show you all of the things that you're being suggested that you do, high, medium, and low, to make sure that all your assets in the cloud are secure, safe, and protected. Okay, a phenomenal set of capabilities. Now, the last thing I want to show you in this particular set of demos is a new set of capabilities that we've built. We actually acquired a company and then have been building on top of this, and this is our CASB, Cloud Access Security Broker. Okay, we call it Microsoft Cloud App Security. What this allows us to provide you is, first of all, we can now give you a listing of all the cloud apps that your employees are using. So in this case, if I come to the dashboard, this particular company, their employees are using 152 SaaS apps. I'll bet for most of you, if we were to ask you how many cloud apps are your employees using, you would have no idea. Okay, so this gives you that view. You can take a look and see all the cloud apps. We give you data about them. For example, I can come and take a look at any one of these. Like, let's go into this one called Signex here. That little circle right there is our rendering of the security of the application. And 3 is a very, very low security rating. And so I can drill into it, and it'll show you here all the security capabilities that the service has. This has very few of them. It'll also show you the certifications that the cloud app has. We've done this for more than 13,000 applications. So we give you this knowledge about 13,000 applications. But we've gone much deeper in our knowledge of those 13,000 applications. We also understand how they work. And so what we give you the capability now is, across all those applications, you can go and start asking questions like, show me in all services, every one of my employees, any file that is publicly accessible that's been copied up by my employees. Publicly accessible means it does not require a username and a password to get access to. So these 4 files right here, anybody could get access to if they had the URL. So I can come and take a look at the file. It'll show me information like, you know, who the owner is, when the document was put up. Notice right here this file tag. That ties back to what I just showed you in that file level protection where the document was auto-classified and auto-labeled. You can actually have that knowledge. And you can say, show me every single file that's been copied up that's confidential. Now, this is great that I can see these, but what I really want to be able to understand is if it's causing me to be non-compliant. So I can come and take a look at my compliance policies. And for example here, you know, it's going to come up and show me what my PCI compliance is. I could drill into this, and I could then go take a look at all files that are causing me to be non-compliant now. And so I can take a look at this Northwest customer data. Well, I want to go learn more about this. So the first thing is I can open it up, and again, it shows me things like the owner, the date that was copied up. But right here, I can take actions such as I can make the document private, I can put the user in quarantine. But for the first time, I can understand how my employees are using cloud apps. I can bring those apps under management. I can see if there's data going up into those cloud apps that's confidential, and I can take action to protect the company. I think it's pretty remarkable. Okay, and so we have these abilities now to help you protect and then detect. Okay, let's go back to the slides. So now, we talked about, you know, these questions that you can answer. With what we've just showed you, we've now shown you how you can protect your data on devices, in the cloud, at rest, while it's in transit. You can find and react to breaches. And again, you're able to deliver that environment that is empowering and rich for your users, but also secure. So loved by users, trusted by IT. Give you a couple of examples of a couple of organizations that are using this. General Motors, one of their largest fears is that the designs of their new cars are being stolen by the Chinese, legitimately. And so they are now using all this Azure information protection, and as their engineers are in their CAD systems designing new cars, all that security and protection is built into the file now. The file itself, the design of these new cars, is all safe and secure. We just migrated General Motors from, they were using IBM's Mass 360 for their enterprise mobility management. They are managing over 60,000 devices now with Intune, and they did that all within 4 months. But they wanted that integrated way to do data protection, identity protection, and enterprise mobility management. Avanade is a fascinating example. Avanade, if you kind of look in the dictionary for mobility, you'd probably see a picture of Avanade. 28,000 employees. they're entirely BYO for tablets and phone. They sent an email out to their 28,000 employees that said, we're gonna require your device to be MDM managed in order to access corporate email. And they saw a 40% drop immediately of the number of devices accessing corporate email, Exchange Online. Their users were sending a message of, we don't like the environment you're giving us. So what Avanade has done is they've gone entirely now to a MAM-only world, mobile application management. All that security I showed you on the iPads, we can do when you're MDM managed, we can do when you're only MAM managed. So Avanade, like many companies I'm seeing in Europe, for BYO, has moved into a world where they're just putting their security, they're putting their emphasis on the corporate documents and on the corporate apps without taking over the user's device. Those are new capabilities that we announced just a few months ago. So protect, detect, now let's talk about respond. And the whole concept here is once you've detected these breaches, how do you respond? And really you're trying to answer four questions. How did the attacker get in? How did they spread? What did they see or steal? And what's the risk to you and to your customers? If any of you have ever been involved in a breach, how does it typically work? Well, what most organizations do is they call in one of these organizations that specializes in helping to identify and answer those four questions. And these companies come in and they start collecting logs, they start collecting data, and they're trying to find the crumbs in all the data. They're trying to find that signal in all the data to answer those four questions. That's what the Intelligent Security Graph is doing for you every minute of every day. As all this telemetry, as all this data comes back to the Intelligent Security Graph, we're looking for those patterns. We're looking for the data in that sea of data that actually matters. And I'm going to show you how we're integrating all of this to help you quickly be able to answer those four questions. And again, those four questions: how did they get in? How did they spread? What did they see and steal? And what's the risk to you now and your customers? You know, there are two kinds of companies in the world: those who have been breached and those who haven't admitted it. It's interesting, this, you know, James Comey has got kind of a whole new level of notoriety over the past month in the United States. He's the director of the FBI that was having all the issues during the campaign. But he's dead right. He's absolutely dead right. So what I want to walk you through and show you now, it's a fairly sophisticated demo, but I want you to understand how we are pulling all this data together to give you some insights. And so let me kind of set it up before I show it to you. I'm going to go and show you some of the advanced threat protection capabilities that we have built in Windows 10 that we just announced in September and will be available in the spring of 2017 with the Creators Edition. How we have built advanced threat protection into Office 365 as well as into our enterprise mobility and security solution, and then how we have integrated them. Okay, so let's jump in and show this to you. But as you think about this, I want you to think about the value of this graph. Okay, so let's start with just showing you a video here. Now I'm going to show you a video of an attack. So on the left-hand side of the screen, you see it's the victim. On the right hand is the attacker's command and control PC. So let me click play on this, and I'll kind of narrate it through to you. So the user has received an email, and that user is going to go and open the email. And just the fact of opening the email, watch what's going to happen over on the right-hand side here now. Over on the right-hand side, you see that there's been an attack embedded in that document. And the way that it was launched was they clicked on that macros yellow bar at the top of the document. The attacker now is getting communication back from that PC. He's going and he's running this file called sysdebugger. He's uploaded it. He's now installing some software. He's putting in a backdoor. He's going to go run some utilities like ipconfig. He wants to see if he's actually on a PC or if he's in a detonation chamber and being spoofed. But this is exactly how this happens. The user, the attacker is done now. That PC is completely owned by the attacker. And did the user see anything at all? Nope. I'll bet you many of you in the room, you've got an email like that, you get like a Word document or Excel document, you've got that little yellow bar that comes in at the top that says enable macros, you click on that without even thinking about it. Just that action is one of the way that attacks can come in. So let me now walk you into what we're doing from an advanced threat protection. So what you're looking at here is a brand new set of capabilities that we've announced called Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. This is something new to Windows 10. And what it allows us to do is we're constantly sending back telemetry now from your Windows 10 PCs back to the intelligence security graph to help you understand and see when these kinds of attacks happen. And so let me come onto the dashboard. And the first thing you're going to see here is, you know, we give you a dashboard, and there's one high alert here. There's one thing that we're saying is critical, and that is we've detected there's an attack that's called NeuroBlaze that's happening. So I'm going to click in that. And the first thing that I can do here is I can go learn about NeuroBlaze. And so you can take and read this first paragraph here. Hey, it's been active since 2007. It's primarily targeted at government bodies, diplomats, political advisors. Comes through spear phishing, and it's highly resistant to being detected and threats. I can come down, I can see the blue there is the parts of the world that we've seen this at. And then as you come down into this, we actually show you what the attack is. And so in this case, we have a PC from Elizabeth, and we've seen these four files have been installed on that PC, and this is what the attack is that NeuroBlaze is doing. And so I can learn more about this. I want to go learn more about this SIS debugger. And so I click on SIS debugger, and it'll actually come back and show us everything we know about that file. Okay, and so we can see here that we have seen this file on four different PCs globally, okay, and in your company. Now notice here, in the third one here, the name of the file is different. Because we're looking at this at the checksum basis, we can actually know when an attacker has changed the name of the file to try to hide it a little bit more. Okay, so I want to go learn a little bit more about this. And so let's go click on sysdebugger.exe and let's go learn about it. So we've seen it five times worldwide. We've only seen this particular file five times. And we've seen it five times in your company. Okay, so what do we know immediately? This is a very targeted attack at you. We have not seen this particular file anywhere else in the world on any other Windows 10 PC anywhere. So I need to go learn more about this. And so I'm going to come up into here, and here I can start actually doing a bunch of analysis. Now, if I were to go click on, for example, this deep analysis right here, it would actually show me what is happening. So we have this concept of a detonation chamber. And so what a detonation chamber allows us to do is we take files like this, we put it into this virtualized detonation chamber, we execute it, and then we watch what it does. And so you can see here, it starts communicating with an IP address, it communicates over an encrypted channel. It starts doing a bunch of things, checking about the environment that you're in. Okay? It's checking the domain information, the hardware information, and then it starts interacting with some system processes, and then it goes and creates a process, it puts a backdoor in. This is exactly what we see when we executed that file in the detonation chamber. This is how we see these threats coming in. Okay, so let's keep going and learning some more about this. I'm going to go in here, and I want to click on Elizabeth's PC. So I want to go now see what's going on Elizabeth's PC. And I can see here we detected the NeuroBlaze attack. A port scanning tool was detected. Okay. Hey, we saw this file that got put there. And eventually this traces down to it looks like it started with an attachment that came through Office, through Outlook. Okay, so let's go learn some more about this. So now as I click on that, I can come down here, and it's going to show me exactly what that set of processes were. So I can see that, you know, I can follow down through this, and I can see exactly what was happening. Right here, Outlook.exe saved an attachment. And it says here I can learn more details about this by looking at Office 365. So I click on that. Now what I've done is I've transitioned from the Windows Advanced Threat Protection to Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection because we've tied it all together in the graph. Okay, make sense? Okay, so the first thing that I've seen is I know how the attack came in. It came in through an attachment through Outlook. Now I want to go see how it spread. So I can come and take a look here, and I can see that we have seen this particular file, this attack, was sent to three recipients. And if I come over here, you can see that it was delivered to Elizabeth, but then we blocked it to the other two. What happened was as soon as the Windows Defender detected that this was an attack, it communicated back with Office 365, and Office 365 went and blocked it for any other mailbox that had received it. Okay, you see how cool this is? So you see now all the solutions from Microsoft interacting with each other. Okay, now, I know that this is a super targeted attack, and so I'm going to assume that this attacker is persistent. I want to go look at Roger's PC because I want to see if the attacker has tried other ways to get to it. So now if I come and take a look at Roger's PC, it's going to take me back into Windows Defender. So now I'm back into Windows Defender, and I'm now looking at Roger's PC. Remember, I was looking at Elizabeth's PC a minute ago. So I'm scanning down here. I can see everything that was happening on Roger's PC. Look at this one right here. Elizabeth's identity has accessed Roger's PC. Why in the world would Elizabeth's identity be on Roger's PC? So then what that allows me to do is I can say, okay, so I think what has happened is Elizabeth's ID has been compromised, and now the attacker is trying to spread using Elizabeth's identity. So I click on that. I click on Elizabeth's PC. Now I am in EMS, okay, our Enterprise Mobility and Security solution. And I'm now able to see everything that's going on with Elizabeth's identity. Okay, so now I've gone from what's happening on specific PCs up into the cloud, what's happening in Office 365. Now I'm using the Enterprise Mobility and Security solutions to now get a view of what Elizabeth has been doing across my entire network. And I can see here, first of all, that Elizabeth has been, her identity has been used on devices we don't see Elizabeth working on usually. And notice, there are four or five servers here that her identity has been on. Okay, we're seeing an attack in real time here. We can also see that she's accessing resources that she normally doesn't access. Now, what EMS does here is it establishes a known working model of every user in your company. And then as your users are working, it compares that model against what they're doing to see if there's anything different. It also compares every user with his or her peers to find out when there are anomalous things happening. So now I can come up here and I can take a look. What's going on right now is Elizabeth's identity is on this device that's trying to remotely execute code on a server. Okay, so now I know what I need to do. Now I know how the user came in, how the attack came in. It came in through a phishing attack in Outlook and through email. I saw how it spread. I saw how Microsoft's Office 365 stopped that spread. But then I've also been able to go and see now how Elizabeth's identity was compromised, and she is now spreading across the rest of the network. So I have the answer to the question that I need to go in and stop the attack. Okay, let's go back to the slides. Pretty amazing use of how we use the Intelligent Security Graph. What I just showed you there, if you had had this attack happen in your environment, if you're not using that, you would have gone and hired one of these companies. They would have come in and taken several weeks to collect all the logs, all the data from your devices, from your services, to try to figure out exactly what I just showed you in 5 minutes. Okay? I think it's pretty amazing. Now, we just showed you how we can help you answer the question, do you know who's accessing your data? And can you identify, respond, and block an attack in real time? Just a couple of quick examples here. Time Warner Cable, they own CNN, they own TNT, they have broadcasts around the globe. Everything is run from the cloud. They've used System Center for years and years and years in terms of how they manage all their Windows devices, but now they're using what we call the Operations Management Suite that you'll hear more about in the next day or two. Think of that as System Center up in the cloud, and it allows you to be able to manage all of your physical assets, your virtual assets, and your cloud assets through one pane of glass. So now they're managing their tens of thousands of Linux servers from the cloud through OMS, and it's giving them all those real-time views. You may not know Cristal, but you probably know the companies they make clothing for. Cristal is a Hong Kong-based company, and they do all the manufacturing for clothing stores like Zara, H&M, Victoria's Secret. What they saw is in Hong Kong, there was a 52% increase in cyber attacks in the last 12 months. And they came to us and they said, we have to have a way to be able to see these attacks in real time because we can't wait days, weeks, or months to identify when something has happened. So they're using all these advanced threat capabilities that we just showed you to give them real-time analysis and real-time data. Now, just real quick, let me talk about Windows 10 for a minute. You know, the thing that we see with Windows 10 right now is the adoption is really quite remarkable. What we're seeing in terms of adoption is we see about 1 million new Windows 10 devices being deployed in the enterprise every week. Okay, so we get that telemetry back through Windows. We get that telemetry back through through System Center Configuration Manager. It's fascinating what we see in terms of the millions and millions of devices that are being deployed and managed around the world. All but 30,000 of them are being managed by Config Manager today. Okay? Well, that just makes me proud since that's my product. But what we are seeing is the world is using Config Manager, and that's the way that they're deploying Windows 10 around the globe. There are two reasons why we predominantly see organizations moving to Windows 10. The first thing is they want the security updates. They want all the security capabilities that we've built into Windows 10. Windows 10 was built to defend against today's attacks. The second thing is everybody wants the new form factors. They want Surface devices. They want Surface books. They want the two-in-ones. And they know that Windows 10 is the better experience for doing that. So as you're thinking, as you're sitting here in the room and you're asking yourself, how do I get started? What do I do? I'll tell you, the biggest thing about leadership is just doing something. You know, I sit with the leaders on my team, and we talk about leadership attributes. We talk about what makes a great leader. And the most important thing to do is have a point of view and get after it. It's a time of change across the industry. It's a time of change in your companies. It's a time of change in your careers. I can tell you personally, this move to the cloud has stretched me in ways that I've never been stretched before. The skill set that I developed over decades of building on-premises software is helpful, but building a cloud service that we operate that runs at cloud scale 24/7 globally is fundamentally different than what I did for the last 25 years. We've had to retrain our people. We've had to rebuild our processes. It's fundamentally different. You're going through the same thing. And organizations are looking for those leaders who stand up and lead. All the research is clear on this. When you have a secular change, like the move to the cloud and these moves to mobility, the companies that embrace them and embrace them the fastest are the ones who grow the most. I think it's the same thing in your personal careers. So now, as you think about everything that I just demonstrated to you, everything that we demonstrated to you is in Windows 10, in Office 365, in Enterprise Mobility and Security, or EMS. That grouping is what we call the Secure Productive Enterprise. Okay, many of you, if not most of you, have an enterprise agreement with Microsoft, an EA. This is the modern enterprise agreement. And so as you think about everything I just demonstrated to you, if you get Secure Productive Enterprise, you have the license and the rights to use everything that I just showed you. Okay, so what's next? Make sure you're putting the plans in place that help you to protect, you have to defend, move from a perimeter-based security model, or probably more appropriately say, add an identity-based security model to the perimeter-based security model that you already have. But assume you've been breached, so have the ability to be able to detect these attacks and respond to them. You need to make sure that you're doing all three. Far too often, we have organizations that do a great job of protecting, and then they have their policies for how they're going to respond, but they don't have the ability to detect. So my advice to you, lean in. Lean into change. Lean into helping drive your company forward. Lean in to help your customers move forward. It's a time of tremendous opportunity, and I'll tell you personally, I'm having more fun than I've had in the 25 years that I've worked in the industry, because change is opportunity. You learn, you grow, and you can help others around you learn and progress and grow as well as your company. Thank you for the ability to be able to partner with you. I can tell you as an engineering leader, we take great pride, and we know that there's a tremendous stewardship and responsibility that we have as you partner with us and build your businesses on what we do. And we really do appreciate that confidence and that trust. Thank you very much.